You know, we go through a lot of situations. The devil does a lot of things to try to discourage us and bring despondency and all of these things. But not one thing. He said nothing could separate us from the love of God. That is so true. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles back to 1 Samuel, where we were at this morning. And we're going to look at it in a little different light tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 9. But while you're turning there, I want to testify to you. I want to share something with you. When Don and I were up in Missouri at this little motel that we were staying in, they had this little coffee pot deal, I guess like they do in most places. But they had this little flat pan that had little bevels on the side that they had that coffee pot sitting in. That way, you know, if you spilled it or whatever, it wouldn't run off. And I told Don, I said, boy, I'd like to have one of them for our coffee maker. I said, that's really neat, you know. And it was just a little cheap deal. But anyway, and I just mentioned that to her. And then out of the blue, there was a lady brung one of them to Donna. And, you know, I had only person heard that was Donna. And I thought that was so cool. That's how good God is, that just something out of the blue that you mentioned that you'd like to have, and then he moves on somebody and they bring it to you. How cool is that? You know, I just appreciate the closeness of a God that we have that is mindful of not just our needs, but some of the things that we just desire. That's how good he is. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. In 1 Samuel chapter 9. Now, remember this morning we were talking about how we let the master, Jesus, capital M, become the master of our mind. And you and I, we have success. We terminate tiny thinking out of our lives. And we move into the place of being able to do all things through Jesus. And we looked at Saul being called into that place and the position. But tonight we're gonna look at it from a little different angle, because the Lord wants to. He has a admonition to us. He wants us to see how we. Every one of us in here, we have an assignment, amen. And we've got an assignment. But to be able to fulfill the assignment that the Lord has for us, we've got to be in alignment. And only the Word of God will keep you and I aligned with our assignment. And so we're going to look at it from this point of view. So 1 Samuel chapter 9, this time let's just, let's pull from, starting in verse 15. 1 Samuel 9 and 15, when you're there, say amen. Amen. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, or shall be the first king of my people Israel, that he may, now mark this down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cries come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold the man of whom I spake to thee of, the same shall reign over my people. The same shall reign over my people. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Well, we praise you. We stand in your presence, Father. We know that you open the doors of heaven to
yes.
us tonight, Lord, to lead us and guide us into all truth, Lord. Show us and give us the courage and glory. You open our hearts and you open our minds, Lord, and we step into your will and your way, Father.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. Tonight, you and I, after we followed the leadership of the Lord this morning, and I believe there was anointing come upon us that would destroy, that would terminate tiny thinking, you and I need to be in the place and the position where we're aware of our assignment. And we are in a place and understanding that our assignment, it comes by the word of the Lord. It comes by the Holy Spirit inside of each one of you blood-bought, blood-washed believers. But to fulfill that assignment, we can start out well, but we can veer off if we're not very careful. And so the admonition that the Lord wants us to be cautious of tonight is always be aware and always be in the place and the position to help those that God places in your path and my path to understand that the devil wants to stop us. And he wants to get us out of alignment. And so what the Spirit of God wants to reveal to us tonight, He wants to reaffirm what you already know. Remember, we talked about this morning that the prophet Samuel, he told Saul, he said, I'm going to tell you everything that's in your heart. In other words, he was saying, I'm going to tell you everything that God has called you to do. God has empowered you and anointed you to be. Amen. And so we got to protect those things, and we got to recognize that the word comes to bring that call, and the anointing comes to fulfill that call. But then the devil will come with situations and circumstances in our weakness, in our flesh, and in our mind, will, and emotions, our soul, to try to limit that and hinder that. Amen. And so we got to be cautious. So I believe there'll be an anointing to reaffirm your assignment tonight. I believe that you'll come to the place and the position where you already know what you're supposed to do. You already know how you're going to do it by Him. But there would be a affirmation in your spirit, and there'll be an anticipation to be able to walk deeper in that. Amen? All right. So notice what he said there in verse 16. God's talking to Samuel, and he tells him, he said, I want you to reveal to Saul that he is going to be the captain. He's going to have an anointing to lead. Tonight, I've got to recognize that you are anointed and you're led to lead. You're leaders in your family. You're leaders in this community. You're leaders on your job. You're leaders everywhere you go. You're not designed to follow but one person. That's Jesus Christ. You have an anointing to follow Him. And so you and I, we come together and we follow the Lord together in His many-membered body. And as we follow Him, we invoke the reality that Jesus is walking in us and through us. And as you do that, you become a leader. You're a leader in everything that you do and everything that you say. And so your number one assignment is being led to lead. You're led, and you're in that leading, you're leading others to the revelation of how Jesus has been revealed in your life. And so you are a captain in that sense. You have an anointing in that sense. But notice what it says. Here's the very revelation that he wanted Saul to get, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, we talk about this quite a bit, but in case we've misplaced it, remember, anytime you see the word Philistines, if you fully translate it instead of only transliterating it, it means to roll in the dust. And so, what happened in the garden? What come rolling in the dust? The serpent. And so the Bible says there in Genesis 3:1, he is the wisest beast of the field. And so he's very subtle. He knows how to bring deception. And so the Philistines, when you see them, they're always a type of hindrance to God's people. And so here God says, I want you to see. So we in the Bible, we've got a law. And the law is the law of first mention. In the law of first precedence. So we have here that God is raising up Saul to be a leader. He's raising him up to guide and direct his people to what? To save them out of the hand of the Philistines. So you've got to see, I've got to see in the typology that we learn from the Old Testament to make application in the New, everything that you and I do is to lead people out of the work of the devil, out of the things that would get them to, come on, we were created from the dust of the earth. Everything that would get people back in the carnal and out of the spiritual, you and I have an anointing. We have a calling on our life to bring them out of that. And so the way that we align with our assignment is that we know who we are. We know what we're doing. Amen. And we walk in that reality. Now notice that God said he put the word may there. Don't you wish that he hadn't had to done that? That Saul may save. See, it boils down to you have a choice. I have a choice because we have free will. And in the end, whether I fulfill my call or not, it's not because of anybody else. It's because of me. And we're living in a generation right now where nobody wants to take responsibility. Everything is somebody else's fault. Well, we've got to get it back, and we've got to get between us and the Lord and get in line. Amen? Now notice what it says. God says, I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me. Now you and I, the way that we know that we're walking in love is because we love the Lord first and foremost, but we love Him so much that we have a love for those who He brings in our life. Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. So the revelation, I've been really trying to draw nigh unto God, and I've been trying to tell Him. In some places in my life, I feel like a hypocrite. You know, Lord, I know what Your Word says. I know where I'm supposed to be, but let me tell You the way I feel. And so the Spirit of God has just been trying to encourage me, don't go by how you feel. Go by faith. Go by what My Word says. Don't let your feelings hinder the revelation of the call that I have in your life, the anointing that I have upon My people. Amen? And so we can't go by feeling, because I don't know about you, but my flesh doesn't feel like it likes myself, let alone anybody else. And so the devil loves to come slipping in, rolling in the dust, raising that dust up and saying, oh, come on, things ain't right. Well, He's talking to the old man. He's talking to that old nature, amen? And Jesus died to take care of all of that. And so you and I can't get caught up in that. So don't miss your assignment. Don't get out of alignment. The word of the devil will take you out of alignment. Come on, anything that keeps us aligned with the Lord is the cross. And the cross is Jesus Christ fulfilling every word, amen? That's our hope. That's our confidence. Now notice, He said in verse 17, He reiterated it. He told him twice, that I want you to know that the same shall reign over My people. God's going to tell you, He's going to confirm His word in your life. You're going to hear it, but you're going to hear it again. And as you hear it, and as you hear it again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're going to come up out of where you're at, and you're going to come into the reality of what thus saith the Lord. Amen? All right, so let's look at this. Now let's recognize that we have an assignment, and that assignment is by the word of the Lord. Now turn with me over here to the 18th chapter. Now, we got to see that as God gives us a word and He gives us an assignment, we've got to recognize that the enemy will do anything and everything he can to move us out of that. Now see, we better back up just for a second. Back up with me to the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter. 1 Samuel 15. Now this is where we've got to be so cautious and do what the Lord says. 1 Samuel 15:1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. You and I have got to be in the place and the position where we hear what He's saying, and we know all of authority of heaven is behind what He's saying. Amen? He said, I do remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. You remember when God was leading the children of Israel to the promised land, and they were going through the wilderness journey, and they come to the place where all they wanted to do was to get water. You know, and they said, hey, we'll even pay you for the water. You know, let us go right through here. And they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't let. And so as the children of Israel were 400 plus years in Egypt, now here we are 400 plus years later. Judgment is coming for what they did. See, God's a patient God, and He gives time for repentance. He gives time for coming in alignment. So He says, I've got an assignment for you to do. Now he said, verse 3, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. Now, I know that sounds rough, and that's why the God of the Old Testament gets a hard rap, but we've got to see that this word here, where it says utterly destroyed, it's a word from the Hebrew, means that they cannot be redeemed. And so the reality tonight, you and I need to see, if we're not in our assignment, if we're not taking the Redeemer to those who need to be redeemed, they cannot, they will not, after the door is closed, be redeemed. Amen? So, I mean, it's a serious thing. And we're in the time of grace, but judgment's coming. How many knows judgment's coming? And so we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. All right. And Saul gathered the people together and he numbered them in Telem, or that means lambs, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. So anyway, he gets the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is, to fulfill your assignment, I'm going to give you another word that'll bring you in alignment with the anointing that I gave you. Do you realize that we can abuse the anointing? See, God, his gifts and calling are without repentance. There's people in the world today, and you know, this, some people don't understand this, and some people look at you like you're nuts, but why do you think that so many of these movie stars and so many of these singing stars, why they draw a crowd? They have an anointing. They're just not using the anointing for God's purpose. You can feel that, even though it's twisted and it's turned a different way. I can sit and I can see and I can feel the different level of anointing, and I can see what, in some cases, what God wants to do. Amen? You can too. And so here, he has the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is, you're going to be a leader. And that's what you and I, we've been called to lead to lead. But we've got to see that we've got to follow, thus saith the Lord. He gave him specific instructions. If you don't have specific instructions, you've got a wider area to walk. But God is calling his people in this last day awakening. He's calling us to walk in a narrower path. He's calling us out of the acceptable will of God. He's calling us out of the permissive will of God into the perfect will of God. And if you and I, if we'll follow him in the perfect will of God, we're going to know specifically what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Amen? And so here in this perfect will is, God said, this is time for this to happen. And so Saul, he has an assignment. He has the word that will bring him in alignment with assignment, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't do what God says to do. He keeps the choice of the animals, and he keeps the king alive. And so when Samuel comes into the camp, he hears all these animals. And Saul says, you know, hey, I've done what God told me to do. And Samuel says, then what's all these animals I hear in my ear? What's the king of the one who oppressed my people, what's he doing still alive? I say, we've got to be cautious, and we've got to know that to be able to, like we were talking about this morning, to get out of that, terminate that tiny thinking, we've got to get those things healed in our life. Remember that we looked at how Saul said, I am the least of all of my brethren. He said, not only am I of the tribe of Benjamin, which is the least, he said, but in my family, I'm the least. Now see, this small thinking that he had limited him to be able to do what God would have him to do, because he, what did he do? Now I'm preaching to the choir. He yielded to what the will of the people was, because he wanted the people to like him. He wanted to be accepted. Even though he had anointing, he had a call on his life, here is where he makes his biggest mistake. Because can you imagine, here's all the people, and as they go in and they win this great battle, there's all of this livestock, this is all the spoils, and you could imagine how much materialistic value that it had, and the people are thinking, why would we want to destroy this? We can use it. And so he's in a place, he's in a dilemma. So you and I, we've got to be cautious, because remember what Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16 says? It says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, unto woman, unto boy, unto girl, but the end thereof is death. So it doesn't matter if God has lined out something for us. We've got to go in that direction. Amen? We've got to be faithful to that. Okay. So, we're going to be talking about this on Wednesday nights, just here in the real near future, to be able to get to where God would have us to go. But I want to read this, and then we'll go back over to 1 Samuel 18. Look at verse 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Now notice this. He said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Now this is a verse that we know very well. We quote the first part of it, but we very seldom quote the second part. "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. We got to be very careful and not follow what we know. Amen? And so the reason why I'm telling you this is as God is bringing a deeper anointing on our lives and He's bringing us into the perfect will of God, there's less error, there's less leeway of you and I being able to do what we want to do. We've got to do what He would have us to do. And we've got to see if we don't do it, that it brings in spirits, because there is a spirit of witchcraft. And I don't want no spirit of witchcraft working in my life, do you? And I don't want to be stubborn, because then it brings in what? It brings in iniquity. Remember we talked about that's what caused Saul's trouble, because his dad, Kish, means to be bent a certain way. And it brings in idolatry. All of these things, there's a spirit behind those things that get attached to our life. And so we've got to be cautious. Now, go with me to the 18th chapter. I knew he wouldn't shout, but... Now remember, God told Saul his assignment was to take care of the Philistines. But look here what happens in verse number 7. See, if you're in the place where you don't know your value, I want you to know how valuable you are. The Bible says that you are worth, 1 Peter chapter 1, you are worth the precious blood of the Lamb. You don't have to take a back seat to anybody. You don't have to think that anybody is worth more than you, because Jesus would have died just for you as He died for everyone that takes Him. Amen? So that's your value. So, but here, Saul, because of his little thinking, because he didn't let God's anointing destroy that yoke, because he come back. See, it's so easy. The Bible says that the dog will go back to the vomit, the pig will go back to the wallow. I don't know about you, but I'm just talking. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. Every day I struggle not to go back to my old way of thinking. Not to go back to my old way of talking, my old way of acting. And I want to tell people, I want to tell them that that there's not sin in temptation. Come on, people get discouraged. That's why they stop communion with the Lord. That's why they stop coming to church, because they think that if they get saved, everything's going to be all right. No, when you get saved, that's when the battle increases, because God's calling you out and the devil wants to stop you from coming into that call. Amen? All right. Here's what was going on in Saul's life. Verse number 7, 1 Samuel 18:7. "And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands.'" Well, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it, to take care of 1,000 demons for the Lord? But see, all of a sudden, if we get in the place of comparison, boy, they can preach better than me. They can sing better than me. They can witness better than me. They can work harder than me. They can, you know what I mean? It's not about comparison. It's about you and I being what God called us to be. Amen? "And the women answered one another as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?'" See, Samuel's then told him that God's took the kingdom away from him. So all of those things that was in his heart has now been replaced because of the rebellion, because of the iniquity that he did not deal with, he did not take care of. And so now he's in the place and the position. He goes, the people are praising David. And I know that the only thing I have right now is I have the kingdom, but in reality I don't, because I know it's going to be passed on to David. And so here he is. He's in this place, in this position. And now he's going to start fighting God's anointed. Instead of fighting the Philistines, he's going to start fighting against the plan of God. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is because you're going to, as God increases the anointing in your life and as he brings revelation of what's going to happen, we're going to see signs and wonders like the early church. We're going to see a move of God that's going to show that God is going to end this dispensation of grace the way he started it on the day of Pentecost. There's going to be great power. There's going to be, God is going to be glorified through Jesus, through his church. Amen? And so there's going to be people who are not going to understand it. They're not going to understand what's going to happen. And they're going to kick against the anointing. They're going to come against the plan of God. They're not going to know it and realize it. And so you and I want to be in the place and position where we're not offended, but we're there to help. Because they're not under judgment like Saul was. And so they can come out of that and they can come into the perfect plan and the will of God. That's why we're talking about it. Amen? All right. Now, verse number 9. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. This is a word where, from the Hebrew, where you and I would say he gave him the evil eye. So, now the Bible tells you and I in Hebrews 12:2, we're to be looking to the author, Jesus. Amen? And so, if I got my eye on the enemy I have set up, I cannot hear from the Lord. All I can hear is what I'm looking at. And I'm looking at what is creating all the feelings of the old man and pulling me out of my assignment. I'm getting out of line with the Word of God. The Word of God is the anointing on my life that takes me to that next place. Amen? And so he's looking, and his role is to be taking out the Philistines. Now notice this. Verse number 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit... Now take that word "from" in your Bible and mark it out. But in the Hebrew, there is permissive sense. And this word from the Hebrew is in the permissive sense. In other words, God didn't send this evil spirit upon him. God had to allow it because he had to pull his hand back because of Saul's decision. Okay? So I want you to see that. So, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit allowed from God came upon Saul. Notice this. What did Saul do? He prophesied in the midst of the house. Now remember, you and I, we read this morning when the anointing from God come upon Saul and he prophesied, and the Bible said he was turned into another man. See, you and I, we've got to recognize and realize that the devil hates the anointing. He hates it. Why? Because the anointing, Isaiah 10:27, the anointing is what destroys the yoke off of your life and my life. It breaks it off of us. Amen? And so the devil will do anything and everything he can to get us to come out of the Word of God, out of that place of obedience, out of that alignment with our assignment. Because if he can get us out of that, he can get us in a place and a position where he can move in a way that is not true and genuine. You realize that every gift of the Holy Spirit is imitated in the New Age. Every gift. Just like, you know, remember Philip, he got translated after he ministered to the Ethiopian. Remember that? And the New Age calls it astral projection. And people say, oh, that's not real. Oh, it's just as real as you and I are sitting here. It's just the evil spirit is the one that's doing the moving in the spirit realm instead of the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, here Saul is, instead of saying what thus saith the Lord, that had come to him by the prophet, that would be a type today of what would come to you and I by the Holy Spirit, by the anointing. Now he's speaking under the anointing of the devil. We've got to be cautious. Because, see, the anointing of the devil It gives doodads too. And if you know the difference because it bears witness with your spirit because you're born again. But you realize the ones who are not born again, they don't have a reference point. And without a reference point, that deceives them, that pulls them in. But God's getting you and I ready in a place and a position. There's going to be a confrontation, okay? This is spooky in the natural to me, but you've got to see it. First, we've got to see in 1 Kings how God raised up Elijah. And Elijah come, and in chapter 18, he repaired the altar of the Lord. And when he repaired the altar of the Lord, he was there and he was going against the 400 temple prophets and the 450 Baal prophets, or vice versa, whichever way it is. And altogether, 850. It was him against 850. But when you and I are with the Lord, we're in the majority. Amen? But guess what did Jesus say? He said that the spirit of Elijah is going to come before the coming of the Lord. There's going to be a great conversation. This awakening that is going to come, there is going to be a battle because there's a battle for souls out there. God is going to raise up His church, and you and I, we've got to be ready. I'm sorry. Yet, thank God, the trumpet's going to sound. We're going home, okay? But in the meantime, you and I, we've got something to do, and the job is that we're going to meet the devil. You're going to confront the devil. We've been called to those who roll in the dust to meet the Philistines, and God is wanting to get you and I ready where we stay in alignment with our assignment, and we don't start fighting amongst ourselves. We don't start fighting amongst other churches. We don't start fighting amongst other people, but we know who the enemy is.
Yes.
It's the devil. Amen? Yes. Because see, Saul, if we won't take time, but if you look back here, it says, let me just read to you. In the 14th chapter, verse 47, it says, "And so Saul took the kingdom over Israel, and he fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, and against the children of Ammon, against Edom, against the kings of Zobah, against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them." See, as long as he was in his assignment, he won. You have not been called to be defeated in any way, and you've been called to lead other people into victory. And so our message is, listen, just follow Jesus, and you're going to come in the place where all the other enemies, they have to bow. Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's on the throne, amen? And everything that has a name has to bow under Him. And so Saul, he knew what success was, but the weakness in his life, he never gave it to the Lord. Listen, I want you to pray for me. I have weaknesses. And I need the Lord's strength to be able to do what He's calling us to do. I am not ashamed to admit my weaknesses. I want the grace of God to rest on me, don't you?
Amen.
And the grace of God is going to empower us to be able to fulfill our assignment. Real quick, turn over to the 31st chapter. This is just to drive the point home of the severity of this, and then we'll close with a positive note. 1 Samuel 31:1. Now I have to say this, I don't want to. But if we don't obey the Lord, and we don't destroy out of our life what God is dealing with us about tonight, it will destroy us. See, when you have an anointing to destroy something, And you don't do it. When I have an anointing to destroy something and I don't do it, it opens the door up for the devil to do to me what I was supposed to do to him. In all severity now. 1 Samuel 31:1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain at Mount Gibeah, the place of the fountain of ruin. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul. See, when you're led to lead, The devil comes after the leader. What did Jesus say? If you smite the shepherd, the flock will. We've got to be careful. We've got to be cautious, and we need to pray for each other. Pray with each other, knowing that your prayers make the difference. I covet your prayers. You covet each other's prayers. Amen. We've got to have them. We're not playing games. We're getting into a place. Into a deeper level where we're going to meet another level of devil that we've not seen before. Amen. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchizedek, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto the armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword, and he fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Verse 6. So Saul died, and his three sons and his armor bearer and all his men the same day together. So what you and I want to do, we want to see that it's in the little things of obeying that make all the difference. It's in those little things that were, if God says, slow down, turn left, call this person. You know, there's been times in every one of our lives, if we had time to talk about it, that you obeyed in something that made absolutely no sense. Why do I need to talk to them about that? That seems like nothing. Insignificant. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Why would you want me to talk about that? And that one thing is the key that allows them to hear from God in a way that's not religious, but it's real. Amen? That's right, Brother Corey. That's right. Amen. So here's what we want to see. We want to see that we recognize that the devil's real, but he's not more powerful than your God. And so our key is to let the Lord heal our hearts. In other words, we take those weak areas and we see that, for instance, see, Saul, in reality, when he kept talking about how little he was, see, that showed a revelation that everything was about him. Well, if everything is about him, then that goes back to pride. See, I argue with the Lord. I'm not an issue with pride. I have an issue with inferiority. But inferiority really reveals the fullness of pride. All right, let's go to the New Testament in closing. Ephesians chapter 3. You know the verse very well. It's a very powerful verse. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Look what the word says. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So, you and I, we've got to recognize and realize that God can do more than what you and I can even think. Now, this word think is a Greek word. It means to exercise the mind. Now, every one of us, we struggle in different areas, and our mind wants to run this way, and it wants to run that way. And so, when those things happen, when the devil brings things up in our mind to discourage us or tell you or tell me, you can never do this, you can never do that, you can't accomplish this, you can't fulfill your assignment, you can't stay in alignment with the Lord, we've got to exercise our mind away from those lies and into the Word of God. And we've got to say, no, my God is able. Come on. The word it means miraculous power to work in your life to take you wherever God has destined you to be. The miracle working power of God. Now God is. He's able. He's able to do that. And so don't be afraid to dream. This is important tonight. I shared with you just a little bit that how, I used to drive around and look at all these different churches, and I was trying to find one that I thought was far enough in the country or that was in bad enough shape that it would take somebody like me. God wants you to dream His dream. And He wants you to dream big. Big. Don't limit Him. Because see, if we limit the scope of God, we'll fall into the very scheme of the devil. One more time. If we limit the scope of our God, we'll fall into the scheme of the devil. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of Satan's devices, of his schemes. Amen? See, you got to see it before you can do it. And God wants you to see what you can do. Amen? Now notice this. He said, according to the power that works in you. According to the power that works in you. See, the power of salvation works in the person that believes. Say, that's me. Okay, the power of salvation, the power that delivered you from hell, death, and the grave is working in you. The power that destroys the work of the devil, of sin and of addiction and selfishness and depression and oppression and addiction and discouragement. All of these things that we could label up and make a pile so big that we couldn't see anything unless we were looking to Jesus. That's what's destroyed by the power that's in you. Amen. So your assignment is just to be in aligned moment by moment, day by day with what thus saith the Lord and have an expectancy. And know that you're going to be attacked by the enemy. You're going to be attacked by the working of all the things the devil would try to hinder you. But greater is the Spirit of God that is in you than the spirit, the evil spirit, the fallen nature is in the world. 1 John 4:4, that's yours tonight. And so 1 John 4:1 says you've got to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. So anything that you, that even though it may feel anointed, you've got to try it and make sure that it brings Jesus Christ glory, that it exalts Him. Because the Holy Ghost will only exalt Jesus. And if Jesus is not being exalted, then you and I need to back up and evaluate what's happening. Amen? Are y'all bored or just tired or not? I'm telling you, not to discourage you, I'm telling you that the accumulation of everything that God has planned, you're going to get to be a part of. Your life is not going to be boring in any way. You're going to get to stand up like Elijah did and challenge the lies of the devil and see people turn away from darkness and turn to light. Glory. Remember, he told them, he challenged the people and he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? And that word halt there is a Hebrew word that means they were hopping from one side to the other. They served God one day, they served Baal the next. And he was able to challenge them, and ultimately he restored what God had. Ahab and Jezebel, they lost their place. This is how people come out of witchcraft and idolatry. It's happening, amen? It's happening. And we're going to get to be a part of it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would take this feeble attempt. Lord, you said for the foolishness of preaching, Lord, and all of the foolishness that I could do, Lord, I tried to bring this forth. Right now, Lord, if we move forward in any reality, if any person is encouraged, if faith comes, if faith is released, Lord, it'll be because your spirit touches their spirit. Lord, I ask you right now that let every person be refreshed. Let them hear and let them see their assignment. Let them see that they're going to hear, thus saith the Lord, and they're going to be prepared ahead of time from any attack from the enemy. Lord, when the enemy comes to try to get them to fight amongst themselves, for me to fight amongst my situation, my family, my ministry, my situation, we're going to know ahead of time. We're going to have the anointing to be able to stand strong. And you're going to be able to move in us and through us. And it's going to be greater than anything we've ever thought. It's going to be greater than anything we've ever prayed. And it's going to be by your power that's working in your children, your believers. Lord, let it be. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would you come tonight and say, Lord, here I am. I see that I have an assignment, and I want to make sure that I hear from you tonight where I'm in perfect alignment, because in the place of perfect alignment, it's like being in the eye of the storm. In the eye, everything's still. Everything around is disruptive, but in the eye of the storm, there's a place of stillness. Lord, let people in their very life right now, let them come to you. And if there may be a storm, there may be things blowing all around them, but let them have peace in the midst of you being in the place of saying, peace, be still. Let it be, Father. Would you come tonight? I want you to hear, thus saith the Lord. I want you to be built up, and I want you to be encouraged. God loves you with an everlasting love. He wants to instill in you and I a revelation of His power, a fullness of His glory working in us and through us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You have called me out of darkness. You silence every lie. No one.